Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the Committee of the Whole meeting for March 9, 2015 to order. And you'll have to listen closely to my gavel tonight. It's a friendle.
It's a friendle.
My friendle tonight. So we'll call the meeting to order now, and if you'll stand up, we'll have a moment of silence and then pledge allegiance. Thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll have time for citizens' comments. If you, when you come up, just state your name and where you reside, please.
Hello, all. I'm Amelia Collins, and I live in Pearl Township. And it is a privilege to come here tonight because I want to offer a prayer. All of you fine gentlemen, ladies, visitors, our superintendent, and administrators. You know, God tells us to put on the armor of God, and that's what I'm here to do. So, can we just bow our heads? Dear Lord, please allow your Holy Spirit to be in this room with these people making godly decisions for our schools, for our students, for our community. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon all of us, and we ask for your direction, your guidance to each one of these folks that are here to make important decisions about how our schools are run and for the continuing education, guidance for our students. Thank you for keeping all of our schools safe. We ask for your blessing upon each principal, all our teachers, all our staff. And we ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, everyone had a moment to look over the personnel report. Any comments on the personnel report? Motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Paul, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Personnel report. Property and services.
Okay, thank you. I have only one action item for next week. It is approval of Plan Found Part K. What this does is it takes the reimbursable percentage from the 2010A bonds that were refunded and assigns them to the notes that refunded those bonds, the 2014A and 2015. So I did provide copies of the PlanCon K's as an attachment for the board. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, that's all the action items I have. Okay. Information items. As everyone knows, last week the governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, presented his proposed budget. It came with several, actually two tax increases and one new tax. The first is the increase in the state income tax from 3.07 to 3.7%. And this increase, the money generated from this increase will go to provide dedicated funding for property tax relief. He also proposed to increase the state sales tax from 6% to 6.6%. And also to extend to some items that aren't currently being taxed. The last item is a new tax. It's basically an extraction tax. on the natural gas, and this would be to provide increase in basic ed, special education, and vocational education funding, and also for expansion of the pre-K services. So those are the two increased taxes and the new tax that he's proposing in his budget. What does the governor's budget mean to Elanco? In basic education funding, we would see an increase of $272,661. In special ed, it'd be just under $50,000. And estimated cyber school savings by establishing a cost per student rate for cyber charter schools would be $258,279. The grand total of all those items would just be under $581,000 if the legislators were to adopt the proposed budget. And I would find it hard to believe that they will, but at this point, that's what's out there, and it's now in the legislators' hands to debate it, and more to come as we go through that process.
Just to follow up to Mr. Ramsey's comments, I received a letter today from the Senate of Pennsylvania. In their letter, and this letter is specifically from Senator Scarnetti, Senator Cornyn, Senator Brown, and Senator Cordner, they specifically say and caution school districts to, I quote, take a conservative approach to your state revenue estimates and advise against adjusting your school district's preliminary budget to reflect this education proposal. So everything Mr. Ramsey just said was just negated by that letter from Senator. That concludes Mr. Ramsey's report.
And Senator Romney tweeted the same thing after this morning's meeting to school boards. That's great.
That ends my report.
Thank you, Mr. Ramsey. Program report?
Yes, program committee has two items. First is affidavit of guardianship, which you have in on your agenda to look at. Any questions about that? And then the other action item is expulsion waivers for students that have had violations of district policy. I have no information items. That ends my report.
Just to comment on Dr. Barkin's report. Had a number of expulsions this year. Sometimes it just goes like that. Some years we don't have as many. This year we've had more, and typically almost exclusively expulsions are a result of a hard violation of school policy related to drug distribution or weapons violations. Not a whole lot of flexibility there, unfortunately. The good news is, if there's any, we have our own alternative ed program, so at least the students when they are expelled have a quality program, at least more quality or higher quality than they've had in the past, and in the past we would have sent them away somewhere. Still, we're very, Dr. Rock and I just discussed today, we're concerned about the number of expulsions. We don't like to expel kids. So we're going to see what we can do to try and change the behaviors.
Is there a trend? 5-year trend? Or?
We could pull that out. I haven't done a 5-year trend. My guess would be that it truly ebbs and flows for unknown reasons. It does seem like this is a peak for us. This is the most we've had, maybe even in my time here. But I think last year we may have one or two. So it just sort of, there's sort of an ebb and flow to it. I can't.
Are these spread out over different grades and everything? So just like
it is spread out over.
Sometimes you just say some
grades
are just made out.
No, I'm not pinning on any one particular class. We've unfortunately had one incident even down at the middle school, which you were aware of. It was reported in the paper as well. They've been in a couple of different areas. Also keep in mind, because we do have our alternative ed program on campus, at least one of these was an alternative ed student who would not have been here. Had the program been elsewhere. So there are some variables that that make it difficult to compare year to year as well over time. Still, it's a concern, something we pay more close attention to.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Larkin. Management report?
Thank you, Mr. President. We have no action items for next week. An information item, did make a change to the school calendar. We lost two school days last week on Thursday and Friday, which will push back our third period marking period date by 2 days. The other adjustment that we're making, and it's a tentative adjustment, would be graduation. At this point, I would like to plan graduation for Friday, June 5th, which would be 1 day later than scheduled. Keep in mind, this school district, we go 182 school days, so we actually have some flexibility with what we can do at the end of the school year. Graduations on Fridays are very convenient for lots of reasons, for both parents and for us here at the school district, in terms of setting up and tearing down. So, barring any other weather or other emergencies, I'm hoping that in April we can announce that graduation date as official. We always get action from the board to make that official so that parents can plan appropriately. But right now, it's looking pretty good for a graduation date of Friday, June 5th. I do have a couple other information items that have popped up since the agenda went out. I mentioned the letter from the senators. I got a communication from Senator Almet today that the breakfast he was hosting, that was supposed to host this past Friday, has been rescheduled for April 17th, same location at Effort High School. So if you can look at your calendars and get back to Mr. Johnson, if you're interested in attending the breakfast hosted by the center, he's hosting all of the school districts, all 10 school districts that fall within his district. One other information item that I think is worth sharing because it may be a little bit chaotic and you may hear about it. We're going to try to conduct an intruder drill while students are arriving to school. No one else has done this for good reason. But if an event is going to happen, the likelihood of it happening when students are arriving is pretty high, I would imagine. So we're going to coach students ahead. We're going to teach students ahead of time. We're going to sort of announce the week that we're going to do the drill, so students will be a little bit aware. But we're going to see how we do. My guess is we're going to learn a lot, and we'll have to make some adjustments. But I think it's worth the risk of some chaos to learn what we can learn. Again, because above all else, safety is paramount, even above education. I get that. Parents want to know their kids are coming to safe places, safe emotionally, physically, and socially. So we're going to try this. We're making some plans. We've been talking about it. So be ready for that. We're going to learn some things, but I'm certain we're going to make some mistakes with the kid because there's no book to look at for this one. No one else has done it.
So will you do like a lockdown thing? Or
correct. We're going to do an intruder drill lockdown while students are arriving.
Good luck. It's a mystery date?
It'll be somewhat. We'll tell the students a week that it's going to happen, and ahead of time we'll say, we'll give them some directions. I'm meeting this week to finalize those plans. We've got a cafeteria full of kids getting breakfast. We've got buses unloading. We've got kids in the hall. But typically, when there is some type of student intruder, it typically goes off right at the beginning of the school day. So we should at least try to practice that. I think students and faculty will learn a heck of a lot just by having that one exercise. So we are going to give that a roll.
And that will be the entire campus?
It will be middle school, high school. And just the last thing that I'd comment on before my other agenda item, the legislative breakfast was this morning. I know Mr. Jones was able to make it. Always interesting to hear the different sides, and unfortunately it is sides. And it's pretty easy to pick up who's a Republican and who's a Democrat. I as soon as they begin speaking, although we know who they are. I will say this, I've attended these breakfasts now for all 10 years in my role here at the school district, first as assistant superintendent, now superintendent. And I will say that the respect level seems to be as high as ever. I thought that the conversations between the party representatives were more respectful and a little bit more engaging with one another. I will also say this, that there are valid points on both sides of every issue. It's a shame we can't meet in the middle, because it just doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So they're always learning events, and again, I thought today was worth everyone's time, but it's also a little bit frustrating to see how polarized our representatives remain. I don't know, Mr. Jones, if you want to make any further comment, okay. Understood. Okay, any questions or comments about the information items? And then I have sort of a discussion item that I'd like to just bring up briefly. The cyber charter schools, which are getting a whole lot of attention even now in the governor's budget, and certainly had a piece of conversation this morning, absolutely does affect this school district. And what I've done is I went back 3 years, and I pulled some data and asked the following questions. Who were the students? What grade levels did they come from? What grade levels were they in, and what grade levels did they come from? As a part of that question, it was, did they ever start with us? That was one of the aspects of the question I asked. And where did they go, and then any other special notes that would apply? Looking at the data in a broad brush, and where I'm going with this is, I want to share this with the board because I think it's going to require more time from the administration to dig into. And I sort of want to let you know where I'm going to spend some time on this, but it's going to be some time. Because there's not, what I found, much to my surprise, there are not any kind of real strong themes or patterns. So for example, what I mean by that is, in 2012-2013, we had 60 students in some type of cyber school. During the course of the year, or right after the end of the year, 22 of those students came back to us. Pretty decent. So let me just follow that thread, and I'll come back again. In the following year, 13-14 school year, we had only 28 out in cyber. And at the end of that year, or sometime during that year, 7 returned. Small number 2 years ago, last year. This year it has exploded. We have 127 students in cyber school, and so far 10 of those have returned to us. So we may pick up another 10 by the end of the school year. Digging a little further into that data, going back to the 12-13 school year again, of the 60, here's one interesting piece. Of the 60 students who were in cyber school, only 28 of them came from us. So the others either never started school, came from another school district, or were in a private school or homeschool already. So the first question is, which group do we target to try and bring in? The ones who were never here, part of me says that's probably the group, because the group that left, the notes indicate those who left were unhappy with us for a specific reason on the ones we have notes with. So if you look at the first year that I looked at the data, and we can go back further, but just to get the conversation started, essentially half the students in 2012-2013 came from our schools and stepped out. In 13-14, the following year, of the 28 students who were out, 19 of them came from our school. So a majority, more than three quarters, roughly three quarters. Going back now to this current year, the pattern sort of comes back into shape. Of the 127 students, 61 of them came from us. So we're back to that about half number. I have another comment about that in a second. So, you know, just sort of looking at big overarching number shifts and where folks are coming from and going to, it looks to me like about half the students in cyber school are coming from our schools for something, or are leaving us for something, some reason. And about half who leave come back. Oh, wait. Yes, about half who leave come back. Broad, not for the number, but broadly speaking. Very interesting development in this current school year. Of the 61 students who left our schools, 34 of them went to a single cyber charter school that's new on the radar but wasn't represented 2 years ago. And that's the Education Plus Academy. And that's the cyber school that has a partnership with Kavad Academy. I share all that with you because until I start digging deeper, I would like to address this more aggressively as an administration. We go out and start contacting folks. We develop some public relations materials to share with folks and spend some time with these folks interviewing and you know, take, for example, all the folks who return and simply ask, why did you return? What was your experience? Can we share your experience with other people and sort of develop some marketing strategies related to this? Any thoughts or questions from the board? And I'll do my best. I mean, the data is it's thick. There's a lot here. But I think it's worth digging into with the caveat that if the governor's budget piece about cyber goes into place, it might be less worth our time because the costs are going to be about half. So again, that's just sort of out there as another balloon to think about. Any thoughts or comments? Yes, Mr.
I don't believe they're going to allow the governor to lower the amount of money that the school districts have to pay to the cyber charter schools simply because the cyber charter schools seem to be a Republican program that is near and dear to the Republican hearts, and they control both houses, both, you know, the House and the Senate. So I don't believe we're going to see a drop off in that money. We may see some tightening of the requirements, which would be good, because I believe that some of the reason that some of the kids leave is because cyber charter school is easier, a lot easier.
And it would, in some of the data that I have, verifies what you're saying. They left because there was attendance issue, a truancy issue, an academic issue, and didn't want to be held up to standard. Some of the students who came back to us were kicked out of their cyber schools because they weren't doing anything in that area. So now they go away, they do even less, come back even further behind. Good observation.
Question. So, is there a way to track whether, okay, like of this recent year with 120 students, if the 60 that came from us, how rooted in us were they? Could there be a transition issue where they're coming from somewhere else and really aren't plugging in or getting rooted and then kick out?
That would be a deeper dig.
Yeah.
We could do that. The only thing I have is the grade level they left. And I didn't count anyone, and it's interesting. There's a significant number of students who come from other school districts and drop right into cyber. So I don't know if a bad experience in a different public school results in. So
like it might not be us.
In some cases I think it is, but fewer than what we represent by the data. I think people have, some folks, particularly in this community, just have a sort of a private mentality for religious reasons. Some have just anti-establishment, anti-government reasons. Some are just looking to avoid responsibility. There's sort of this whole different pots of kids out there. Some we may have misserved, and I have to be honest, some of this may be our fault, and I think that's where we begin. But I also think we tap the merits of public school to some of these folks who have never experienced it, because some of this is generational. You know, so you can look at some of the names and assume some generation kind of thing. You know, they're jumping from homeschool to the site. Back to Mr. Urban's point, I mean, the one other thing that has been discussed, and this is on the Republican side, is possibly creating a two-tiered cost structure for school districts and charter schools, meaning that students attending cyber charter schools, the district would have to pay less because it costs less to educate them. And that seems like it might have some traction because that's being discussed in both parties. I'm hoping for some relief from this because this is a lot of money. This is a lot of money.
Well, I agree with Paul that especially the Republicans, Harrisburg, influential leadership in a lot of these committees are so blindly behind this that hasn't had any influence. But I agree that moving forward and seeing what happens at the state level, but it's the rewards are so great, financial reward to get people to switch or get them to come back, that it'd be definitely a effort from being well valued in doing that.
Okay. I think it's worth taking on sort of a new focus area for the remainder of the year to really delve into this.
No, I was going to make a comment or a question and then a comment. So just at this school year, so 61 of these youngsters came from our school, another 60 or so. No. So they move into our school district, but when they move into our school district, they elect to go to a charter school? Or when you say they came from us, are they new to the district and then they go to a charter? Or?
No. Let me clarify. When I say half came from us, that means half literally left. They were enrolled with us. They spent time with us and left us. When I say they never were with us, they were either moving into us from another school district, they were a homeschool student, they were in a private school, or they never started with us ever. So there's sort of a whole different concepts in the ones who were never really affiliated with us. And again, you know, I start thinking about how would I attack that, and part of me says that's the group to go after, the ones who were never with us, folks, and bring them in and say, you know, do you know what public school is about today? Let's take some poll, let's look around. Because the people who've left us know who we are and are angry about something or looking to avoid responsibility or something. That might not. Logic would say initially, go after the people who left us, let's get them to come back. But now, as I thought it through, if I knew the group to really start calling, it might be the group that's never.
I think you also might find that with the Cavoid Academy really part of this, you'll find that one of the salespeople for Cavoid was an Elanco employee, and I believe what you might find is, I think she may have gone to some of the private schools and said, we can get you your education, and you don't have to pay the private school or the homeschool fee. You don't have to pay the homeschool fee. Just sign up on this cyber charter school, and the school district will pay for your education instead of you having to pay for your child's education.
That is a possibility, yes.
And I believe what Cavoid found is there's a really nice way to make some really good income off of that. Just an observation.
I do have a question. Do we know if there's any, I know you said you're going to go deeper, but like family income relation? Like, is there, I don't know if you can even look into that, I have no idea. Just a curiosity thing.
That would be much harder to look into. That would be interesting.
I just know with the housing in New Holland, it continues to grow with the amount of people that live there, and I was curious if there's a correlation between if one family decides to put their kids there, they see how easy it might be. Just a curiosity thing.
Good point.
We could probably do anecdotal on that. It would be difficult to match up. Well, we could.
Reduced lunch?
Free reduced lunch is a possibility, but you've got to be careful using that way, not just allow to do that.
Yeah, if you don't single out the people, though, if you just say this percentage.
Yeah, it would have to be a broad. Interesting. Okay, well, we're going to keep discussing this. I'm going to shift some things around and make this more of my agenda. Thank you. Any other comments?
No, I just want to say that I appreciate the thought. I think we can't look at this hard enough. This single issue, along with combined with these two issues, could bankrupt our district. And it could get that bad. And so whatever resources we can put into this, I think is in.
When we developed the preliminary budget, we had 111 kids current. We put in an extra 10 kids for a cushion. Now, with 127, we're 6 kids short. So that's $60,000 plus just to keep up with what's out there now. So it's continued to grow. You're exactly right.
And I think the one comment that Senator Ahmed made this morning, which I've thought about over and over again, said it was, the messaging that families are getting is wrong. It's not free. And these families need to know that they're still paying for it because their taxes are going to have to go up. Actually, they're probably paying for it more. They're doing more harm because we're going to have to raise the taxes to pay for all of these kids going to cyber charter. And so if we could get that message, it's not free. Your taxes are going up.
That needs to be part of the message. I think that was Representative Stroke. I'm thinking about it. I don't want to give the wrong quote to the wrong person. I think that was Stroke, because I don't think Representative or Senator Ahmed would make that comment. The comment you're talking about was that they're paying for message. He tried to get a bill that said at least that if you put something on a billboard that you had to say it was taxpayer funded.
Right, so one of them made the comment about the billboard, but right before that was the comment that the bill that needs to change the language that eliminates that you can't say this is a free education.
I can't remember who said it, but that's a concern. The other thing here, above all of this, is, I think as a school superintendent, I have a professional obligation to all of the students who live here. And students are being underserved who are jumping out of our public school into these failing systems. And I think at some point, as a superintendent, as a school board, we do have a professional and maybe even a moral responsibility to at least make parents aware of what they're getting or not getting for what they're doing.
There's a $100 fine.
We could add a line item on the tax bill up saying cyber school and tax increase.
That concludes my report. Floor is back to you.
It was board business.
Yes, it was board business. Because it buys the president. The new president.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Hollister. Any other comments? Any questions, comments, for the good of the comments? Okay, then motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.